This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. All praise and thanks is to Allah. Loving, thankful praise. Abundant, pure and blessed as our Lord loves and is pleased with. Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. O Allah, for you is all praise. Mil as-samawati wal ard wa mil ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'du. As much as the fill of the skies and the earth and the fill of whatever you wish after that. Ahla al-thana'i wal majd. Ahqqu ma qala al-'abd wa kulluna laka 'abd. You are worthy of praise and glory. You are most worthy of what the slave is saying, and all of us are slaves to you. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta, wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minka al-jadd. O Allah, there is none that can prevent what you give, and none that can give what you prevent, and the might of the mighty one cannot benefit against you. Alhamdulillah, we have entered the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Allahumma lakal hamd. We thank Allah by praising Him for giving us another opportunity in our short lives to do something that pleases Him. We begin by thanking Allah for giving preference to some days over others and some deeds over others, because we have the motivation then to work harder and to do better. Every day of our lives is important. Every day of our lives is special, and we know that. But as human beings, over time, we lack motivation. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has given preference to some days of the year over others, by giving them, making them such that the deeds performed in them are more rewardable, then this gives us the strength and the motivation to work harder and to do better. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are actually the best days in worldly life. They are the best days of the year. And we learn in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by these days. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرٍ هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. By the dawn and by 10 nights, and by the even number and the odd, and by the night when it passes, is there not in all that an oath sufficient for one of perception? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath over here, first of all, by Al-Fajr. And Fajr is the light of morning that appears from the east of the horizon and cleaves the darkness of the night before the morning begins. And this is the time when the night comes to an end and a new day is about to begin. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by something, it shows us its immense importance. Fajr is itself a miracle, that at such a large scale, light is bursting through and a new day is beginning. And at the time of Fajr, we also have to perform the Fajr prayer, which is also very, very important. And a lot of acts of worship are actually associated with this time. If we're fasting, we have to stop eating by this time. Fajr marks the beginning of the fast. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the 10 nights, walayalin ashr. And some ulama say that the 10 nights is referring to the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And others say that it's actually referring to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And yes, even though the word layal has been used, nights has been used, the word night in the Arabic language doesn't just refer to the nighttime. The word night, layl in the Arabic language, is similar to how we use the word day. For instance, when we say, my exam is in 5 days, or I will be traveling for 3 days. You don't mean that you will only be traveling for the daytime. You mean the day and the time included. So, layal in ashr over here refers to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, as many ulama have said. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by these 10 nights, then this shows us how very special and important these days of the year are. And Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, many of the Salaf, many of the great scholars of the past, among the Sahaba also, they were of the opinion that these days, these nights are referring to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, by the even and the odd. And this is referring to the creation, because the entire creation is in pairs, as we learn in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that of everything we have created pairs so that you reflect. And the only one who is al-watr, who is al-witr, is Allah Azza wa Jal. And some have said that wa-shafi'i wal-watr is actually referring to the different commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, because they are to be performed in these numbers. So for example, Maghrib Salah is 3 rak'at, an odd number. Fajr Salah is 2 rak'at, right, an even number. And وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the night as it departs, the night as it leaves. And this is referring to either the night when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on the night journey on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, or it is referring to every single night, because as the night departs, that means that another day has come to an end. And as we begin to, you know, think about what we have accomplished over the last 24 hours or what we have missed out on, this time also gives us hope to look forward to what is coming ahead. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ, is there not in that, meaning in these oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken, in all of that, is there not an oath that is sufficient for one of perception? Meaning if there is a person of perception who is able to perceive good and right things, will they not learn something from these oaths? Will they not realize the importance and the significance of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned over here? And of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned over here is, of course, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Layalin Ashr. And these days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them that أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا, the best days in the world, the best days in worldly life are 10, Al-Ashr, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And how exactly are they the best time of the year or best days of worldly life? Because if a person performs a good deed in these days, then that good deed, we learn, is far more superior to the same deed performed at any other time of the year. For example, you could have given sadaqah yesterday or the day before, and that would be good, excellent, mashallah. But if you give sadaqah today, on the first of Dhul-Hijjah, then that sadaqah will be far more superior. It will be far more rewardable. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا عَمَلٌ أَفْضَلَ مِنْهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. There is no deed superior to a deed performed in these days, meaning in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And this is why our focus in these days should be on doing our best in terms of quantity and quality and variety, meaning we want to make sure that we perform various good deeds, even those good deeds which we have been neglecting over, you know, the past few days or weeks or months. And also we need to increase in the quantity of the good deeds that we are doing. And we also need to focus on improving the quality of the good deeds that we are performing, because we want to make the best of this time of the year. And these deeds are, for example, you know, praying salah in the best way possible, fasting, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, and other good deeds. We learned that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than those 10 days. Meaning if you perform a good deed in these 10 days, then that good deed is actually more beloved to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it more, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given significance to these days. These days are important. Why? Not because, you know, the weather is amazing, or because there are, you know, huge sales in the malls, or because there is a party every day, or, you know, you are getting a promotion at work, or you're getting great test results. No, that's not the reason why these days are important. These days are important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given significance to these days. And so when we recognize that, and we show gratitude for that by performing good deeds in these days, then we see that these deeds are more beloved to Allah. أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشر. So the Prophet ﷺ was then asked that, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, not even jihad in the way of Allah? Any, for a person to participate in a situation where their life is at risk, and you would think that that is the best form of sacrifice, of dedication that you could, you know, do for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ replied that no, not even jihad in the way of Allah. Unless a person were to go out with his life and his wealth and not return with anything. Meaning, except for basically the shaheed. Otherwise, there is really no other good deed that can be more rewardable, that can surpass the beauty, the excellence, the virtue of a good deed performed in these days. In another hadith, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ was asked that, what if a person performs jihad the same number of times as the number of days in the first Ashra of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning 10 times if a person goes to jihad, what about that? And the Prophet ﷺ said, these days are better, meaning the deeds performed in these days are better, except for the person who goes out in the way of Allah and does not return, meaning he is a martyr. So this shows us how important, how special these days are, how special every moment of these days and nights are. The Prophet ﷺ also said, there is no deed that is purer near Allah, أَزْكَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا, nor greater in terms of reward than the good deed performed in the 10 days of Al-Adha, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So in summary, we learn from all of these ahadiths that if a person performs a good deed, it is afdal, it is far more superior, far more virtuous than a deed performed at any other time of the year. Then we learn that it is greater in terms of reward. We also learn that it is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also learn that it is purer. And azka, the word azka, doesn't just mean purer, it also means that it is going to grow more. It is going to benefit a person much more than the same deed performed at any other time of the year. Now, a person might wonder that why exactly are these days so important? And why is it that so much significance has been given to, you know, a good deed performed in these days? Because if you think about it, these 10 days are actually part of a sacred month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that there are 12 months of the year and 4 of these months are sacred. And in sacred months, we learn, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves in these months. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has especially sanctified this time of the year, these months, and He has given them a sacred status. And because this is a sacred time of the year, this means that you do not wrong yourself. You do not commit sin. You do not commit injustice. Because if you do something wrong, if you commit any form of injustice against yourself or against another person, you are essentially harming yourself. So, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. This is a sacred time of the year. We learn that وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah, meaning the times, the places, the rituals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given significance to. If a person honors them, respects them, then indeed that is from the piety of the hearts. That shows that a person truly has taqwa in their heart. They have piety in their heart. They're truly conscious of Allah. They have regard for Allah Azza wa Jal. We learn, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. And whoever honors the sacred ordinances of Allah, it is best for him in the sight of his Lord. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed certain things, certain rituals, certain places sacred, and you honor them, then that is best for you. That is excellent for you in the sight of Allah. Meaning instantly your rank is elevated in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember that the sha'air of Allah, the symbols of Allah, this includes rituals like Hajj and Umrah and fasting and the giving of zakat and the Kaaba itself. And we know that it is only at this time of the year that Hajj is performed. And Ibn al-Hajr, rahimahullah, mentions the reasons why these days are so significant. And he says that one of the reasons is that in these days of Dhul Hijjah, a lot of acts of worship are combined in the sense that there is no other time of the year when all major acts of worship can be performed. So for example, in the month of Ramadan, yes, you fast. But if you are unable to fast because of illness or because of travel, then you can always fast at any other time of the year. And you can make up those missed fasts. But in the month of Dhul Hijjah is Hajj. And if you do not perform Hajj on its specified days, you cannot make your Hajj up, you know, your missed Hajj in the month of Ramadan. You cannot make it up in any other time of the year. Hajj is only in the time of Hajj. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. Hajj is in known months. But we see that along with Hajj in these days, for example, we fast on the day of Arafah. So, and that is also very rewardable. And because the remaining days of these of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are so significant, you can in fact fast throughout these, throughout the first 9 days. And then we see that on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, on Eid, we also offer sacrifice, right? And then, of course, there is Salah every day. And you can give sadaqah on any of these days, every single day. A lot of people make sure that they give their zakat at this time of the year so that it is more rewardable. So one of the reasons why these days are so significant is because this is really that time of the year when you can witness so much piety, where you can witness the performance of so many good deeds. And especially when it comes to Hajj, then you know, this is once a year, and Hajj is a very important, beautiful act of worship that brings people from all over the world. And in unity, you know, people are performing various rituals, you know, going from one place to another to perform all those rituals of Hajj, remembering the pious before us, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar, walking in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well, performing Hajj exactly as he taught, witnessing those places, standing in those places, sleeping in those places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed all of these acts during Hajj. So Hajj is a very visual, it is a very significant, you know, obvious act of worship that goes on for several days, and people leave their homes and their comfort in order to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hajj Mabrur, Hajj which is performed in these days, Hajj is a good deed, the reward of which is actually paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wal Hajjul Mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah." The reward of Hajj Mabrur, meaning the one that is accepted by Allah, is nothing except Jannah. Yani, the only reward for Hajj Mabrur is Jannah. Subhanallah. And we see that within these first 10 days, Hajj begins, right? So Yawm al-Tarwiyah, when the pilgrims put on their ihram, is within these 10 days. And of course, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah is the day of Arafah, which is extremely significant for all of us. Because the day of Arafah, we learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa radhitu lakum al-islam deena. This ayah was revealed on the day of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. What is this blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed upon us, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed upon this ummah on the day of Arafah? What is this blessing? It is the blessing of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. I have completed, I have perfected my favor upon you. Which shows us what a huge blessing our religion is. What a huge blessing deen is. And really, every single one of us needs to remember that. That we may be missing, you know, many things in our lives. Especially, you know, over the past year and a half, since the pandemic has begun, you know, life has changed drastically. We have lost connection with other people. You know, we have lost certain skills. We have lost perhaps income. You know, we have lost maybe education opportunity. Maybe our health has declined. Maybe our social life has declined. Every person experiences some level of loss, some kind of loss, you know, where you realize that something is missing from your life. But remember this, if you have the blessing of Islam in your life, then you have a huge blessing. Alhamdulillah. Because this blessing of Islam is such that it trumps every other blessing. And it is so significant. It is so fulfilling. It is so satisfying that it can make up for any loss that we can experience in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to really experience and feel Islam as a blessing for us. We learn that these days are also very significant, very important, because on Arafah, Allah Azza wa Jal, as we learn in Hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal especially descends to the lowest sky in order to witness the prayers, the worship of the people of Arafah. There's a Hadith in Musnad Ahmad that tells us about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to his angels, right, over the people of Arafah, the people that have gathered together. for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels that unzuru ila ibadi, look at my slaves, atawni shu'than ghubran, how they have come over here to me in such a, you know, disheveled state. Because at Arafah, you know, especially by the end of the day, when people have been standing and making dua, and you know they've been stuck in traffic perhaps, but those moments are so special. They're so important that you don't want to, you know, spend time resting, etc. So really, you can see the fatigue on the faces of people. You can see their disheveled state. You can see dust on, you know, their white ihram and on their clothes and on their heads. So why is it that people are striving so hard? What is this marathon? What is this race? What is this event? Or what is it that's so special that has caused people to strive so hard? They have come for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal loves that. He appreciates that. We learned that the day of Arafah is actually the day of liberation. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that there is no day when Allah sets free more slaves from hell than the day of Arafah. Allahu Akbar. And this is the day when the most number of people are liberated from hell. Meaning if a person is destined to hell because of the deeds that they have been doing, but they show up on this day seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are present at Arafah or they are, you know, fasting on that day, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them and liberates them from hell. So it is the day of liberation. In hadith, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws near, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises His slaves, those slaves which have especially come to Arafah. And He says to the angels that, what do these slaves of mine want? What do they want? Ma arada haula. Because, you know, there's no fancy restaurants over there. There's no award or medal that you will win when you complete the rituals of the day of Arafah. There is no, you know, cash prize that you win. So what is it that people have come there for? They have come there in obedience to Allah, to earn the approval of Allah, to please their Lord. And we also learn that in these days is the day of forgiveness, the day of liberation, and also the day of forgiveness. So, and which is the day of Arafah. So in a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he forgives His slaves. So that when they depart from Arafah, they're told, depart in a state that you are forgiven, you and also those that you have interceded for. So the du'as of the people of Arafah are accepted. The du'as which they make for their friends and family and whoever that they pray for, those du'as are accepted. And for those who are not at Hajj, and majority of people, majority of Muslims, of course, they're not going to be at Hajj this year again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the ways for all of us. For those who are not at Hajj, the day of Arafah is still very special. Because if we fast on this day, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, we learned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about fasting on this day, he said that it expiates the sins of the preceding year and the coming year. So the sins which were committed in the past year and the sins which a person will commit in the coming year, they will be forgiven. So even before those sins are committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon that person because of their fast on the day of Arafah. So whatever that you can do, because you see, mashallah, you know, there's a lot of people who can fast easily, right? Alhamdulillah, it's not difficult for them. But then there are also those people who find it hard to fast because of their health condition. So whatever that you can do, maybe you can, you know, rest extra on, you know, on the 8th, you know, take a day off of work on the 9th, you know, make sure that you have food prepared from before so that you don't have to do such things while you're fasting. Any, whatever that you can do in order to accommodate, you know, your fast on the 9th of the Hijjah, do that. And, you know, especially women at home, you know, who are nursing their children, their babies, or, you know, who are pregnant, or, you know, if they're unwell, you know, family members should really support each other, right? We should really help each other. Encourage your children, encourage your spouses, encourage your parents, encourage your siblings, you know, share from now, remind each other from now that the fast of the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah is important and we're not going to miss it, right? We're going to make sure that we fast on this day, inshallah. And the day of Arafah, it's also, of course, a day when, you know, we are glorifying and praising Allah. We're calling upon Allah. So what is, you know, the best way to call upon Allah on this day? The Prophet ﷺ taught us. He said the best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. So the day of Arafah is a day of fasting, and it is also the day of du'as. It's the day of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and the best supplication which I and the prophets before me have said, meaning on this day, is La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said on the day of Arafah, and the prophets before him also said this on the day of Arafah. So we should also make it a point that we say this on the day of Arafah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Now, within these days of, you know, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is also the ritual of, you know, the stay in Muzdalifah, which is Al-Mash'ad al-Haram. And this is also a very important ritual. And of course, this is performed by those at Hajj. But this time is significant. We learn in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said on the morning after Muzdalifah that, O Bilal, calm the people down or make them quiet, because the Prophet ﷺ wanted to say something to them. So when the people were quiet, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has been very gracious to you in this gathering of yours. He has forgiven the wrongdoers among you because of the righteous among you. And He has given the righteous among you whatever they ask. Move on in the name of Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is also a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives His slaves. This is a time when even the wrongdoers are pardoned. They are forgiven. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are wrongdoers. We have so many shortcomings. We have so many flaws, so many faults. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us. We learned that in these 10 days is also the ritual of throwing the stones at shaitan, right? Ramyul Jimar. And this, of course, is performed by the Hujjaj, by the pilgrims. But the ritual begins within these 10 days. And and that is also a very significant ritual, rewardable. And of course, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is the day of Eid. It is the day of sacrifice. And when it comes to offering sacrifice, ritual sacrifice, remember that in and of itself is very important. You know, some people think that if everyone is, offering sacrifice, or every year we offer sacrifice, well, this year I want to do something different. So instead of offering sacrifice, I'm going to give that money, the same amount of money in donation, right? I'm going to, give water to the poor. I'm going to set up a water cooler so that people who are thirsty can drink water for free. They have access to clean drinking, cool water. Or that I will sponsor a student. I will, help a poor family. You know, all of these good deeds are great. They're excellent. And you can actually perform them at any other time of the year. And you can perform them throughout these 10 days. But on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked from you is that you offer sacrifice. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us on that day. And remember that when you show love to someone, you don't show love to them, in the way that you like to be loved. So for example, if you really love that someone should give you a cheesecake, right? You really love cheesecakes, for example. And you know that a friend of yours is, for example, you know, they're diabetic or they are lactose intolerant. So they're coming over and you serve them the best cheesecake in town. You know, that's very, very inconsiderate. And that is very selfish because you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about them. So we always do this, that when it comes to showing love, when it comes to expressing love, we know that we have to express love in the way that other people feel loved. So when this is the matter of the creation, then why on earth do we think differently when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demanded from us, has required from us that on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, we show dedication, we show servitude to Allah by offering sacrifice, then we have to offer sacrifice. Even if we're animal lovers, even if we don't eat meat or whatever the issue is, you know, on this day, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes is that we offer sacrifice. We learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ. That they may witness benefits for themselves. Meaning the rituals of Hajj, all of the rituals of Hajj are such that, you know, they allow us to witness benefits for ourselves, especially when it comes to offering sacrifice, ritual sacrifice, then this is of benefit to us. And they should mention the name of Allah on known days over what He has provided for them of sacrificial animals. And when we offer that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so eat of them and feed the miserable and poor. So in these days is also the ritual of sacrifice, which begins on the 10th. And as you know, it goes on for a few more days. And when it comes to Yawmun Nahr, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that afdalul ayyami indallahi yawmun nahri wa yawmul qarri. The greatest day in Allah's sight is the day of sacrifice and the next day after that. Yani, yes, these 10 days are important. And from within these 10 days, Yawmun Nahr is even more important. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the best part of Hajj as Al-Ajju wa Thajju. Yani, the best part of Hajj is to say the talbiyah and, you know, to say it loudly and also to offer sacrifice. This is the highlight of Hajj. Highlight. We think the highlight of Hajj is, you know, wearing the ihram or, you know, quickly going from one place to the other. All of those rituals are important. They're significant. But afdalul Hajj, the most significant part of Hajj, the most virtuous part of Hajj, he said, is the talbiyah and offering sacrifice. And when we offer sacrifice on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, then we are following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who marked the beginning of, ritual sacrifice in this manner, at this place, at this time of the year. And the person who is offering ritual sacrifice, we learn in hadith in Sahih Muslim, that they should not cut their hair or nails, from when Dhul Hijjah begins until the sacrifice is offered. So alhamdulillah, the month of Dhul Hijjah has begun, and now we should refrain from trimming our hair or nails until the sacrifice is offered. And remember that when it comes to offering sacrifice, you know, there is no, we have been told about what kind of animals to sacrifice. The different shares, for example, in a camel or in a cow, you know, they have been specified. But, when it comes to giving zakat, everyone is not required to give zakat. It is only people who have, you know, who are, you could say, eligible because they have a certain amount of wealth sitting with them for a certain time. Only they will give zakat. And zakat is a certain amount, right? It's a certain percentage of your wealth. But when it comes to offering sacrifice, you don't have to, you know, be employed. You don't have to have a certain amount of wealth sitting with you. You don't have to be of a certain, you know, financial capacity. It doesn't matter what your financial position is. Sacrifice is about showing your love and your dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the real spirit. So, you know, sometimes we get caught up in, okay, does everyone have to do it? How many do we have to do? One animal or two? You know, one share or two? And if I'm doing a share of a cow, then how much is it? What is cheaper? Can you, we get caught up in basically fulfilling it as if it were an obligation just to, you know, just to put a check mark on our list that, okay, I'm done with this. That is not how we should be viewing the ritual sacrifice. This is an act of love. This is an act of dedication. And we need to do it with, you know, with that love. So don't just get caught up in, you know, how much is a sacrifice and where is it going and things like that. Of course, these details are necessary. But don't hold back, you know, from giving what you can give with love and with generosity in the way of Allah, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these days, the first 10 days of the Hijjah are also very important because in these days is, you know, the day of Arafah on which we fast, and that is the day of expiation of sins. And otherwise also in the first 8 days, we can fast. Right, and the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is not only a day of sacrifice, it's also a day of Eid, right? And a day of Eid is a day that is to be celebrated, a day on which we show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the way of the companions, the Sahaba gave a lot of significance to these days. Yani they valued every single day of these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We learn about Sa'id ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu that when these 10 days began, he strove very hard. And he worked so hard in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that it seemed that it was he was doing more than he comfortably could. And it was very obvious that he was doing his very best, that he was working really hard. So we need to think about it as well, that what am I going to do in these 10 days? How am I going to spend my morning? How am I going to spend my afternoon, my evening? What are my, you know, spending habits going to be like? You know, where am I going to spend my time? You know, what exactly is my strength and energy going to be going in? Of course, you know, it's summertime, children are home, maybe people are, you know, taking time off of work, it's vacation, you know, you might have family obligations. But remember that along with all of that, you can still do more ibadah. You can still bring variety and quality to your ibadah. So what are some things that we can do in these 10 days? And I'm sure that whatever you have heard so far and whatever that you will be hearing about in the next few minutes, I'm sure this information is not new to you. You know, every year we hear about the importance of these 10 days. We read about them, especially now on social media. Everyone is posting about the significance of these days and the different good deeds that we can perform. But remember that, you know, it's not enough to just know. It's important to translate that knowledge into action. And this knowledge can only be translated into action when we have that intention and we have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have that willingness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to his slave, this tawfiq is of two kinds. The first tawfiq is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the servant aware of what they can do. So the first part of tawfiq is ilm, knowledge, that a person is made aware of what they can do, what they should do, what the importance is, what the benefit is, and how to do. And when a person learns, then they should make the intention. And they should start thinking about the different ways in which they're going to perform different good deeds. And the second part of tawfiq is that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the person the ability to actually do something good, to actually translate that knowledge into action, to translate that idea into practical life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already giving us tawfiq by making us aware. Now the ball is in our court. It is our job. It is our obligation that we make the intention and we start planning and we start actively thinking about, you know, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, inshallah. So as you hear about different things in this lecture, you know, you can perhaps start making the intention that, yes, I will do this as well. And as you're making the intention, maybe, make a list for yourself of, the different things that you can do. Because, you know, sometimes we have great ideas, we have great intentions, we have great thoughts, but we don't always have that, you know, freedom in our lives that we can actually do what we want to do. Because, for example, you wake up in the morning thinking, today I'm going to do this. And then, you know, one child has an accident and then another child, needs food and two other children are now in an argument. And now, you know, some relative wants you to do something and now your boss wants you to do something. And then you realize you had another deadline. So, in the daily, chaos, basically, we can forget to do things that we want to do. But if we write down, a checklist for ourselves, daily reminders for ourselves, then inshallah, we will also give them priority and we will not forget, inshallah. So what are some things that we can focus on? First of all, let's begin with what is most important, which is our salah. Every single day of these 10 days, we have to pray, right? Of course, women who are not praying, that's different, but otherwise, everyone has to pray. And salah is of those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this deed so much that He has obligated us to perform salah 5 times a day. When a person stands to pray, then they're talking to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala faces them. And we learn Musa alayhi salam was told, أقم الصلاة لذكري, establish prayer for my remembrance. One of the first qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the people of taqwa, the people of success, is that they establish prayer. And we learn that a person draws closer to Allah. How? By performing those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on them. And one of the first things that we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is what? It is our salah. So let us improve the quality of our salah in these days, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves salah. So imagine now you're performing salah anyway. You have to perform salah anyway. But if you perform salah at the best, at its earliest time, at its right time, then this is, as we learn in hadith, that it is the best deed. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that which deed is the best, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salah li awwali waqtiha." Salah at its first time, meaning as soon as the time enters, you perform salah. This is the best deed. And let us focus on the quality as well, that we perform salah with khushur, and that we perform salah, you know, consistently, regularly. We don't delay it. And in addition to the obligatory salah, let us also perform the duha prayer or the ishraq prayer, right? Which of course is a voluntary prayer. But remember, we learn in hadith that when a person performs voluntary deeds after obligatory good deeds, then they draw even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ishraq, you can perform 2, you can perform 4. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also performed 8 at Fath Makkah. So, and remember that you can perform salat al-duha or ishraq basically anytime after the sun has fully risen until before dhuhr begins. So if you perform it earlier in the morning, you would call that Ishraq, because it's the time of Ishraq. And if you perform that later in the morning, you would call it Duha, because you're performing it at the time of Duha. So it's basically the same, depending on when you're performing it, it will be called different. But the reward, the benefit is the same. So you can perform 2 rak'at, 4 rak'at, 6, how many ever you want. And you can recite, Quran, the parts that you have memorized, or even the parts, the surahs that you typically do, but you can recite them, for example, Surah Al-Ikhlas, 10 times in each rak'ah, or 5 times in each rak'ah. Recite as much as possible. Otherwise, also increase in your voluntary prayer. Men should especially pay attention to performing salah in congregation. Along with that, let us also think about performing tahajjud prayer. And in tahajjud, reciting a lot of Quran. And also, one way that we can improve the quality of our salah is that we recite different surahs. Sometimes we just have that, we pray on autopilot, right? We begin the salah, we're used to reciting Surah An-Nas or Surah Al-Duha or Surah Al-Qari'ah or whichever surah that we don't have to think about, we just recite on autopilot. So try to bring variety in your recitation of Quran, in your salah, and that will help you focus better. Secondly, after salah, let us also think about fasting in these days. Of course, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the fast of Arafah, that is significant. But otherwise also, if you have, for example, missed fasts that you have to make up, this is, an excellent time to fast. And we can fast 3 days, we can fast on Monday, Thursday, we can fast all 9 days, whatever is possible. Then after fasting, let us also think about giving sadaqah. Sadaqah, giving charity in the way of Allah, in obedience to Allah, in good causes, to not only support those who are in need, whether it is orphans or people in war-torn countries, helping them rebuild their lives in whatever way that we can. And along with that, let us also give sadaqah, especially for the benefit of the religion of Allah. And you do that by supporting, for example, a masjid, by supporting an Islamic institute, by supporting especially educational institutes, which are dedicated to teaching Islamic knowledge. For example, you learn about a Quran school in your city, an Islamic school, a new Quran program that is beginning. Make sure that you contribute, because the reward for this kind of charity is much, much more. We learn in the Quran that the example of those people who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, meaning for the cause of Allah, the reward is like that of a grain, right? From which 7 ears grow forth, and in each ear are 100 grains. So you have one grain bringing forth 700 and many more. So bring variety in your charitable contributions. You can sponsor students of knowledge. You can sponsor orphans. You can sponsor the digging of a well so that people have access to clean, fresh water. And along with that, don't forget to support your local mosques and things like that. Even when it comes to, children who are living in poverty, if you can bring them Eid gifts, that is also excellent. And don't just do this yourself. Also involve your family in this. Make sure that you encourage them, that they should also be kind to each other. For example, just last night, because Dhul-Hijjah had begun, I opened a box of candy and I offered some to my children so that they could keep some in their, in their candy stash. Alhamdulillah, they've been very generous, within their candy stash, sharing with each other, with, cousins and also with adults. So I gave some to them. I told them, you can take whatever you want. And I encouraged them that, this candy your dad really likes, go give it to him right now. And I told them that, you know, the month of Dhul-Hijjah has begun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds which are performed in these days. And all of a sudden, you know, they had this new kind of generosity and, you know, this excitement, this willingness to be good to each other. So we have to begin from people who are closest to us, right? While you are giving charity to, you know, people who are far from you, don't forget to be kind to those who are closest to you. You know, for example, if your grandchild is going to an Islamic school, for instance, you know, they have to pay a fees, right? So maybe in these 10 days, you can, you know, talk to your son, your daughter, that I am going to give the fees for the first 3 months for my grandson, right? It's your grandson, right? Your son probably is not in need. He can afford to pay the fees of his children. But if you get to pay for your grandchildren, for their Islamic education, for their Quran learning, you have a share in that reward as well. Because remember that when you spend on anyone, yes, you are rewarded. But when you spend on your relative also, you know, someone who is relative, someone who is related to you, the reward is multiplied. It is doubled. One for the reward of charity and the other for the reward of, you know, being good to your relative. So make sure that you spend on your relatives, spend on your parents, not because they're in need, but because when you spend on your parents, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Spend on your spouse, spend on your children, you know, spend on your siblings. You may not have given a gift to your sister in a long time. This is an excellent time. Give a gift, right? And you know, you can give it now. You can give it on the day of Eid. Alhamdulillah, the day of Eid is one of the 10 days. So excellent, right? On the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, maybe you can, you know, talk to a friend and tell her, I'm sending iftar. Right. And you can perhaps send it, you know, from a restaurant that, you know, their children love to eat from. So you have to plan out these things and actively think about them. So spend on relatives, spend on friends, spend on you know, students of knowledge as well, because especially those who are learning the deen. If you have to give zakat, make sure you give your zakat and take account of what you have. Whatever is extra, whatever you're not using, if you know that somebody is in need of it, somebody would benefit from it, somebody would enjoy it, make sure that you pass it forward so that you know, you increase in your good deeds. After this spending, we also need to increase our connection with the Quran. Because time spent with the Quran is actually an investment that only brings benefit to a person. So spend time listening to the recitation of the Quran. Spend time reciting the Quran. Perhaps review what you have memorized. Memorize one more page. And encourage your children, your family also to recite more Quran. In the month of Ramadan, you know, we give a lot of attention to reciting the Quran, and that's great. But in these days also, we should pay attention to the recitation of the Quran, because when you recite one letter of the Quran, you get 10 good deeds. So now these 10 good deeds, remember the significance in these days, it means that they are more beloved to Allah, more rewardable, right? So increase in your recitation of the Quran, listen to different reciters, maybe recite, maybe memorize a new surah. You know, reflect over the meaning and share the message of the Quran with other people as well. Then, of course, we have to increase in our dhikr, in our remembrance of Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no deed performed in these days is greater, meaning a deed that is performed in these days is greater in terms of reward and more beloved to Allah than a deed performed at any other time of the year. So he said, therefore, in these days, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. Increase tahleel, to say La ilaha illallah, and takbir, to say Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed, to say Alhamdulillah. Meaning, in these days, especially say a lot of La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. This is so beautiful. You see, the dhikr of Allah is something that everyone can do. Everyone can. يعني when it comes to giving sadaqah, it's only someone who has money that can give sadaqah. When it comes to fasting, it's only a person who is able to fast that can fast. But when it comes to the dhikr of Allah, this is something that is accessible to everyone. And it's highly rewardable. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah a lot so that you may be successful. And the dhikr of Allah is what brings contentment to our hearts. And it is, you know, of those deeds which is so easy and yet so rewardable. Like when you say Alhamdulillah, it fills the scale. When you say Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, yani, both of them fill the scale, right? Or in a hadith we learn, تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They fill whatever that is between the sky and the earth. So when it comes to making dhikr, especially, you know, make sure that you're saying your morning and evening adhkar, you increase in your istighfar, you increase in sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make the du'as which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make, you learn different du'as, and especially say a lot of takbir, Allahu Akbar, because the reward of takbir is that of giving sadaqah. And it fills, to say Allahu Akbar, fills, you know, the skies and the earth. And when it comes to La ilaha illallah, it is the best dhikr. It is also equal in reward to a charity. And it is a means of salvation and deliverance. When a person says La ilaha illallah, the gates of the sky are open for them. And La ilaha illallah is very, very heavy in the scale. When it comes to tahmid, to say Alhamdulillah, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when you say Alhamdulillah. It is the best form of gratitude. And it is also equal in reward to a charity. It also fills the scale. So how can we say these words of dhikr? The prophets from the sunnah we learn, we can say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So in this, we have covered all three. Takbir, tahleel, and tahmeed. Or we can say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar wa ajal. Allahu Akbar ala ma hadana. Allahu Akbar kabira. Allahu Akbar kabira. Allahu Akbar wa ajal. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. And at Al-Huda bookstore, you can also find you know, different cards, basically, you know, one card is all about takbirat, different forms of saying Allahu Akbar, different ways of saying La ilaha illallah, and another different ways of saying Alhamdulillah. You can also find them on Dua Kijiye app, which is available for free. In that also, you will find different ways of, or different takbirat, you know, tahleel and tahmeed. And make sure that you say takbirat out loud, and you don't have to wait for the day of Eid, you begin today. Because we learned that, you know, the Sahaba would say takbirat out loud. Even the women would say takbirat out loud. Your voice is not awra, right? And especially if you're with your family, you know, you're encouraging your children, make sure to say takbir, you know, these words of dhikr out loud so that you, you know, create that atmosphere, you know, that culture of glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with the dhikr of Allah, let us also think about how we can benefit the creation of Allah, those who are around us and also those who are far from us, beginning from those who are most worthy of our goodness, which are our parents and our relatives, those we live with, those who are related to us, and also, you know, neighbors and otherwise people we know of, you know, let us connect with them, let us show goodness to them in one way or another. And of course, when it comes to the highlight of these days, offering sacrifice, remember it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to offer sacrifice. The Sahaba would make a great deal out of this. And we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he at one occasion he offered 100 you know, camels in sacrifice, many of which he slaughtered himself, and the remaining he asked Ali radiallahu anhu to slaughter. So it's not about you just have to offer one per household. Think about what you want to give in in showing your dedication, your servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make use of every single day of these blessed days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sincerity. Ameen. Insha'Allah, from tomorrow we will begin a new series, basically, in which we will be looking at the best of the best. Who are the best people? What are the best deeds? Because these are best days of the year, so we want to know, which kind of people are best near Allah? Which kind of actions are best near Allah? So every day, inshallah, we will have a different theme, and we will be looking at different ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided us to the best, of things, of actions, of virtues, of places, of people, so that we can strive to be the best in the sight of Allah. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.